The offering, we're not going to pass the plate this morning, but we're going to do it soon. We'll try to get some people prepared to do that, quote unquote. But you know what I thought, and I've thought about this some time back, that we've been neglecting something very, very important with that offering. You know what it is? We haven't asked a blessing on it, and we haven't thanked the Lord for it. So this morning, it's not in the bulletin, but before I preach, we'll have, Rick, would you mind standing up and asking a blessing and thanking the Lord for the offering? And then we'll go ahead with that. But we'll do that pretty soon, too, as well. And then, on the back page, you notice that there, the nursing home ministry, which, of course, stopped during the COVID-19 thing, have called me up and wanted to do it again. And so we're trying to do it at 6:30 on Tuesday nights. Unfortunately, the activities director is a daytime person, and they're not telling the nighttime people. So the nighttime people are kind of becoming aware because here is this guy coming to the door and say, "Hey," and they, "We don't," you know. So anyway, 6:30 on Tuesday nights at Chapman Place. Then notice also there's a council meeting tonight. If you need to be there for that, 4:30, we're going to come through the other side because Taylor and the afternoon Bible study is going to be over here. We don't want to disturb them. It won't take very long. And then, of course, Wednesday is business meeting, June the 16th at 6 o'clock. You say, wait a second, we normally have business meeting at 7 o'clock. That's true. But since we've been doing the COVID-19, we haven't been feeding anybody any lunch or anything like that. So we decided to keep it at 6 o'clock until we get better oriented and things get back to where there was some semblance of normal. What is normal anyway? Nobody seems to know. And then, of course, you notice down there that Greg and Vicki Taylor's their anniversary is today, so that's great, or close to today. So you want to take advantage of that. Any announcement I should have made that I didn't make? Let me just point you to the bulletin board out there. Karen came in this morning and got it all nicely decorated. But out in front of the bulletin board is all kinds of literature, like our daily bread and things like that. And those are free. You can take one for yourself, and we didn't invite you to do that. But also, if you want to take one and for yourself and you say, my neighbor next door might want one of those, go ahead. Take it. They're there for people to use, not just to have a nice, attractive little stack of something out there. And there's all kinds of stuff. Everything out there on that credenza, is that what you call that thing? That brown thing, is free, and we want you to use them. So remember, we're wanting you to bring those donated, and then people could come in and they can just give an offering. They say, I like that $10,000 table. I'll give you $5. That's okay. That's okay. You know, actually, I read about a story one time where the church in Bismarck, where my mom and them used to go and stuff like that, they had something like that. And they had some people collecting up things that are like that. And they had it in the parking lot out front. It was a beautiful day. And this guy pulls up in a 63 split window Corvette. He said, I'm giving this to the church today. Whatever anybody gives for it goes to the church. All kinds of people were saying, hold it, hold it, hold it. Hold it, hold it, hold it. I'm not prepared. Because they got $80,000 for it. Yeah. So I don't know. You got any Corvettes sitting around? I'll give you $8 for it. All right, let's go ahead and open with prayer. Any other, like I said, announcement I haven't made? Good to see everybody this morning. Oh, and remember this afternoon at 5 o'clock is going to be the trying to reconstitute the choir and get going. So everybody who likes to sing, wants to sing, come. We'll start it off. We'll get going back to doing that. Father God, we thank you for your love and your mercy in our lives. We thank you for all you do. We thank you, Father, for your blessing us and for your watch care over us, even all through these terrible events that have happened in this last year. Lord, we've lost people to the COVID that we love, and we pray that you continue to minister to their family. Lord, for the healing that needs to take place in many people's lives, the COVID-19 didn't touch them directly, but it's touched them indirectly. And I pray, Father, for them that they will put away their fears and be encouraged and realize and look forward to worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Be with us now as we're here today. This is your house. We are your people. We ask your blessing for these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Actually, Garrett is here this morning. We talked about Garrett last week. And Garrett's graduated from Snyder. And that's Garrett back there. Stand up, Garrett. Wave to the folks. I told him to prepare a short, 15 minutes? Thank you, Garrett. He's a great guy. And, of course, Cameron was supposed to try to be here today. I don't see him yet, but he's graduated also from New Haven High School. And, of course, you know Cameron. He was in the Bible drill things for many, many years. He's a very brilliant young man. As far as I understand, IU has given him a full scholarship to come down there. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord for that. So keep these two guys, though, in your prayers. And anybody else that has graduated and we missed them, tell us about it. We'll say something about it next time, okay? All right, let's go.
The King is have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into the house and gathered in the name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. Let's forget of ourselves and magnify his name and worship him. And magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord.
You may be seated.
Ask the blessing on our offering that's out there on the table, and thank the Lord for those kind of things. Brother Rick, please.
Father, we come to you today after this year that so much has been disrupted, Lord, and continued in our worship, that Father, some things weren't able to be continued as we were accustomed to, and one of those was our giving. And we just thank you, Father, for those that continue to give, even through this tough time that we've had. We pray that you bless the gifts that they've given, and we thank you for today. And we ask that you guide our hearts and our heads, Father, as we determine how to use this gift to your glory, Father, and for the work in this community. We thank you again today for the givers, and we pray for your blessing on all that it can accomplish, and for your guidance as we make plans to use it for your service. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. If you have your Bible, I surely hope you do, turn to Psalms 84. I'm going to start in verse 5 this morning. Psalms 84, starting in verse 5. Notice also that I did say something about trying to reconstitute the choir this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Everybody's welcome. Anybody who wants to sing, has a voice to sing, loves to sing unto the Lord, try to be here. And at 6 o'clock, I forgot to say, we are going to try to have our evening service. Unfortunately, our guest speaker for this particular night is not going to be able to be here, so I'll substitute for them. There wasn't any guest speaker. I'm just okay, Psalms 84, verse 5. It says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rains also fill the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in the Zion appears before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Shelah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walketh uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is that man that trusts in thee." Again, Father, I pray that you will be with us this morning, that your Holy Spirit will find open hearts, receptive minds here this morning. You will speak to us as we have opened your word this day, have read these passages from the Psalm. I pray, Father, you'll magnify those words, take them in directions that we will, each and every one of us, as we leave this place today, would say it was good to be in the house of the Lord and worshiping the Lord God Almighty. And so, Lord, I know that sometimes you can speak to one person about this particular thing and another person about this. Sometimes you encourage, sometimes you chastise. But, Lord, I pray that your will be done this morning and that your word will find place in our hearts, because indeed that's where we'll find strength in your word. So I pray your Holy Spirit will speak to us this morning. We just want to thank you and praise you. We would see Jesus here this morning, Lord. That is our prayer. For these things I ask in his precious name. Amen. Now, years and years ago, Frank Sinatra, anybody ever hear of Frank Sinatra? I'm beginning to think that maybe people have it. He had a song that was called That's Life. That was very popular. That it had a verse or a stanza, whatever you call these things. That's life. That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm going to change that tune when I'm on top, back on top in June. That's life. And you know, that's what's been on my heart all the week, is life. Sometimes life is wonderful, it's blessing, it's beautiful. You couldn't ask for anything better. And sometimes life is, oh my goodness, Lord, why? So life has its ups and has its downs, most assuredly. All people are subject to these things. God is not peculiar in withholding his favor from his people, but he takes us through those rough times as well as blesses us in the great times. So sometimes theologically we talk about mountaintop experiences. And so those mountaintop experiences are when something marvelous and wonderful happens to us. They're kind of the high points in our life. It's you know, when you became a Christian, you were saved by the grace of God, you asked Christ to come into your life. That mountaintop experience can never be forgotten. It can never be eclipsed. I know I said something about this several Sundays ago, and somebody came up afterwards and said, never apologize for giving us your testimony. Because you see, actually, that's why I'm here today, what happened to me all those years ago. It has never receded in my mind. It's a mountaintop experience. Now, I haven't been on that mountaintop ever again in that sense, but I've been there, and it's changed my life. The whirlwind that was my courtship with my wife, Sonia. And she's not here today because she had surgery last week, and she got through the surgery and she did really fine. And matter of fact, I told her when she came on home on Thursday to call Vondell and have her send out a little message that surgery went well and she was home and doing well. I think she was higher than a kite. She was buzzing around on Thursday like nobody's business. There wasn't any pain in her stomach and all this kind of stuff. She was talking blah, 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 like this. She never got around to sending Vondell that message that she was doing fine from the surgery. But that was Thursday that she was, woohoo, Friday. So it hurts now. So anyway, you know, she's doing better, and I want you to think about that. But in my life, it seems just like yesterday that I met her. It's been 50-some years. It's a highlight of my life. I don't understand how God would give me somebody so precious and sweet and so strong-willed. Oh, she is stubborn. I mean, she is. But that's the kind of thing I need. And so you have that. That's a high point. That's a mountain in my life that I remember over and over and over and over again. The birth of my two sons, the birth of my grandchildren, all those things are highlights in my life. They're mountaintops. When these things flood your mind, when you think about those kind of things, it brightens your day, doesn't it? It brings a smile to your face. Sometimes it brings a tear to your eye because you think to yourself, oh my goodness, you know what, wonderful things that happened this way, and I'm taken for granted. I haven't said I loved you. I haven't done these kind of things. You know, my brother, who's, you know, dead, on be with the Lord now, but, you know, he wasn't very good at marriage. Actually, he had it down to marrying several. I think he was working on St. Francis welfare roles to try to get these girls independent and independently wealthy. So anyway, my brother had those kind of things in his life. And the funny thing about that was that when we went to Missouri to visit, my brother had a new wife, and she was really a ding-a-ling. And so my brother says, you know, come with us to church today. So we went over to Flat River to go to church with them. And I tell you the truth, I didn't know what that girl was. It was a lady preacher, and I don't have anything. I don't know what she was talking about. I have no idea. We walked out the door, and of course she was out front. The pastor was out front and was shaking hands, and she said something about, so glad to see you here today and things like that. Did you enjoy the service? I thought. But then I said, oh, I really did. It's really good to be here with my brother this morning. We don't get to worship that often together. So, you know, sometimes there are those things that come, they brighten your day, they give you a smile. That gives me a smile because as my wife and I came back to Missouri, from Missouri, on the way home, no consultation, both of us said, not next year. So we called my sister up and told my sister, Patty, we need to go with you to church. Anytime we come home, when somebody asks us, you know, Josh or you, or we're going with you. So we got that base covered so we don't have to go to what's, and so it, sometimes they brighten your day, sometimes it's kind of a rain cloud, isn't it, there? And these things happen all the time. There's joy there, there is a smile, there's tearfulness. Mountaintops experiences are there, wonderful, aren't they? But we can't camp out there. They're not forever. They can be forever in your life, but you're not going to be up there all the time, even though we would like to do that. We must leave the mountain and come down to life. And life happens. Life forces us to leave those happy places to once again go down in the valleys of everydayness. You know, we got to go to the doctors, got to take the children to school, got to trudge through the COVID-19 world. You think he's insane? Fear, death, sickness, uncertainty, separation, isolation. All these things come to everyone almost all the time in different degrees and in different amounts. And you know, when you're not in that situation, you're cruising. You know, okay, all right. But, you know, sometimes you get really tired of these things, don't you? Lord, why me? I don't need this frustration, you know. And then when you say that why me thing, do that little still star voice in the back of your head sometimes says, why not you? So those things happen. But we get down there from the mountaintop generally into the valley of despair, and that's where there's spiritual emptiness, which drives us to have a craving to get back to the place we were at. So there are valleys of crisis in our lives. There are valleys of sadness in our lives, valleys of loneliness in our life, valleys of despair in our life. Vondell and Rod this morning are headed to West Virginia because John's sister died the other day. You probably saw that on the email. Now, that's not the sister that we've been praying for several months. It's his other sister. The girl that's got cancer and she's been so in and out and up and down and those kind of things, she's still alive. It's the other sister who died, quite unexpectedly, although she had some health issues. So that's where they're at today. It's going to be a sad time in that family's life. And so there's those valleys of despair like that. Kayla's not here this morning. Becky's not here this morning, but you probably didn't know, but you heard it on the news about some tragedy of murders, multiple murders that took place in Fort Wayne. The murderer killed people and he slashed the throats of children. You think to yourself, my goodness, what is wrong with people? Well, that's one thing. You know, we're at that level, but that was her relation. So there's another level there. Heartache. I'm sure they're, why, Lord, why? Why always us? Why has this happened to us all the time? All the time. Well, I don't have those answers for you today, but I have a little clue. And it's found right here in verse 6 of Psalm 84. It tells us that, it says, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rains also filleth the pools. The valley of Baca. The valley of Baca, you know, Jerusalem is on a mountain, is on a high point. And to get to Jerusalem, you always have to go up. That's why they always talk about it in the Bible, going up to Jerusalem. It's not a very big mountain like we think of mountains. I was on the East Coast one time and went through the Blue Ridge Mountains or something. Is that the Smoky Mountains or something like that? And from the seaward side, you just, I thought to myself, man, these ain't mountains at all. There's a hill. Now, when you're going down the other side, and they have these places, you know, where you have to pull off to the side and let your brakes cool because, you know, you're going. But anyway, so Jerusalem is always uphill. And to get to Jerusalem, the main way to get to Jerusalem was through this valley of Baca. And the Bible tells us, now most people would say, well, I ain't going there. But the Bible tells us there were three major feasts that the people of God were commanded to leave their everydayness of life and return to Jerusalem to worship the King. God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the only true God says, come and worship me. And so there were three feasts, celebrations. In Deuteronomy 16:16, it says, three times in a year shall the males appear before the Lord thy God in a place which he has chosen, in the feast of the unleavened bread, there's one, and in the feast of the weeks, that's another, and in the feast of tabernacles, that's three, and there should not appear before the Lord empty-handed or empty. I was telling the Gideon guy this morning that years and years ago, I don't know who it was somebody was telling me something, and I got to thinking about it, because David says the same thing. Don't come to God's house empty-handed. You come to praise, thank him, and all that. Bring a gift. That's how you say thank you. I remember going to Pastor Ahn's house one time, Pastor, and we were invited over there to eat. Now, we were the guests, right? They fixed us a meal, Americanized stuff, and it was a good meal. And when we got ready to leave, guess what they did? They gave us a gift. Now, if anybody should have been given a gift, it should have been us to them. But, you know, that's not our custom. We just go eat with somebody and say, oh, that's good. You know, but that reminded me of that. And so, don't come to the Lord's house empty. Come with praise and thanksgiving on your heart. And if you have to sit out in the parking lot a while and work that up, count your blessings. It'll happen. So let's look at that first one, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. That's a seven-day celebration. It begins the 15th of Nisan. It's not a Japanese car. It's a month. It's the same month as Passover. Matter of fact, the unleavened bread precedes Passover. Remember? It begins on a Sabbath day and ends on a Sabbath day. Very, very important, actually. The command of the Lord to the people of Israel, as God was about to bring the last plague, the Passover, that was going to free Israel from bondage, was this unleavened bread. 7 days to remove all the leaven out of your house. Leaven. That's an ingredient that makes bread rise. Now, I don't know that. I just read about that. I wouldn't know how to make a loaf of bread if my life depended on it. But that's what it is. We use it in all kinds of cookie things all the time. But leaven in the scriptures, only one time is used in a positive way. All the other times, it is used in a negative way of sin. So what God has commanded them to do in this unleavened bread time is get rid of the leaven. Get rid of the sin. I'm going to do something, the Lord God says. He says, I am the Almighty, and I'm going to pass over in all the homes that have cleansed themselves. Put the doorpost, the blood on the doorpost and the lintels. I'll pass over those homes, and the firstborn won't die there. All those that are not prepared, they're going to suffer loss. And so we have this very interesting thing of removing the bread from the home. Now, if you were to tell me, okay, Mike, we need to remove the bread from your home, the leaven, and mostly, you know, your bread products, you need to get out of there, I would go to our cabinet, I would go down there and pick up the bread, and I would go over here and pick up a couple of items over here, and I think we got a couple of leftover hamburger buns and hot dog buns out in the garage. I'd go over there and I'd throw all that out. Not good enough. You see, that's where we're kind of at. We don't realize the consequences, the danger of, and the power of sin. Clean it all out. What I would have to do is get in there where the bread is stored underneath that cabinet, because guess what's down there? Crumbs. All kinds of little residue. Now my wife would be saying, get down there and clean that up. The stove. Have you ever, you know, there's residue everywhere. There's leaven everywhere. It's all over the place. Do you have any grandkids? Do you have any kids? They come into the living room, they sit down on the couch, they eat whatever it is, and then the cracks of the couch, there's the crumbs, there's the leaven. You got to clean it all out. All of it must go. Why is this so important? It teaches us something that is not easy for us to get sin out of our lives. It permeates everything. Don't even recognize that it's there most of the time. But the great Passover is coming. And the Lord has said, you've got to be prepared. Clean up your house. Get the leaven out. And then put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And ultimately, of course, the Passover, of course, is when the death angel would pass over all the houses in Egypt that had the blood on the doorpost and the lintels. And then, of course, Israel will be free. Pharaoh is going to say, that's enough, I've had enough. Go, just leave, would you please leave? And of course, biblically speaking, that's a feast that still goes on today. It's talking about the Passover all the time. And we recognize that Jesus is that Passover lamb. That ultimately what God was doing to free Israel, his people, from the power of sin in Egypt, to break that power of sin, was that something had to die. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Something has to. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. The perfect Lamb of God has to come. And Jesus was that Passover lamb. The second is the Feast of Weeks. Shavuot. It's the sixth day of Shiva. And that Shavuot is the Hebrew word there. We know it by another word in Greek. It's Passover. Did I say Passover? I'm just testing to see if you're listening. It's Pentecost. Pentecost. 50 days after the Passover. It marked the beginning of the wheat harvest. This was the offering of the first fruits of the children of Israel, bringing it into the temple of God as an offering unto God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and filled the house where they were all sitting, and there appeared upon to them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each one, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus was our great Passover, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And then 50 days later, God is saying, first fruits, let's do the harvest. And you read there in Acts, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. Even the priests, even these guys that were so hard-hearted to Jesus, even some of those became believers. So you had the Pentecost feast. And then you had a Feast of Tabernacles. We don't know much about tabernacles, really. The Feast of Booths. It was trying to remember the children of Israel. We need to remember stuff, but we have a hard time doing that. The pilgrimage that brought them out of Egypt into, finally, the Promised Land as they wandered in the wilderness. And this was the final day of the feast that the Lord Jesus stood up in John 7:37, and he said this, in this last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus said, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39 says, but he spake this concerning the Spirit, which they had believed on him should receive for the Holy Ghost. And many of the verse 4 he said, therefore, when they heard this saying, they cried out, of a truth, this is the prophet. This is Messiah. Isn't it amazing how all these things are not just little encapsulated things that happen in one particular time and never have any meaning thereafter? It's all sewed together. It's a marvelous tapestry of what God is doing. So three times a year, the people of God were commanded by God himself to go to Jerusalem to celebrate these high and holy days. Now here's the rub. Here's the reality of life. We can't live on top of the mountain without going through the valleys. The psalmist says, blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord, in whose heart are the ways of them who pass through the valley of Baca. Baca. You actually know what this word means. You just don't know what it means. It means tears. Have you never heard passing through the valley of tears? It's the valley of tears. It's that rough way. It's that valley down here. You're going to Jerusalem. You're going to meet and be in the presence of holy God. There's going to be a blessing here that's unspeakable, almost unable to grasp it all, but you've got to go here first. I'm thinking, Lord, is there another way? Can we go around this way? Go over here. Do this. Do whatever. We all want to not go through the valley of Baca, but everybody will. It's a rough way. It's a dry way. It's a desert way. Listen, nobody wants to go through the valley. But to get to the mountain, to get to the place where God has a blessing for you, you must walk with him in everydayness through this thing called the valley of tears. Have you ever cried about something? I can't take it any, Lord. This is just busting me down. Brokenness. But it is there in the valley of tears, in Baca, where the dross, that sin, is removed from our life. As we head towards being in the very presence of God and a blessing with him and for him, we need to be cleansed. We need to get all the leaven out. And when we do that, our lives become more sympathetic. When something happens to someone over here, and we go, oh my goodness, how can earth and, you know, how can they stand that? You know what? We're not going through that, but we're going through that as a kind of a substitute, standby. Our hearts need to be turned as well. It's a tough time. We need to pray for them, with them, stand by them. All those things that we know that we're supposed to do, but it's so hard to do. We don't really want to get over there because it's almost like there's this place, this Baca place, and everything in there's a cauldron of tears. I'll just stay out of there. I'll stay over here and come by later. But we must not, and we must realize that we can't settle for being anything less than what God wants us to be. And God uses testing, trials, to bring us to where he wants us to be. Knocks the barnacles. My little brother-in-law used to fish and head boats. And I helped him clean barnacles off the bottom of a wooden boat that he had. And I thought to myself, why are we doing this? Haven't you heard of fiberglass? You know, it's tough work. It's tough work. But that's what God uses to sand us and to blast us and to get us prepared. It's humbling to us as well. But in his mercy and in his love, in his grace, the interest that he has for us, he takes us through that, his children. So don't settle for anything less than what God wants you to be. Over in Colossians, it says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. It's easy for us to think about earthly things. We're familiar with those. We've dealt with that a little bit or whatever. And so we gravitate to that rather than something that God, because when God takes us and we have to step out, it stretches us, don't we? It starts hurting us because we've never been there before, and we're fearful, and it physically, emotionally, spiritually, it's stretching us. But we can't settle for being less than what God wants us to be. And if he's taking us through that, there is a reason. There's a purpose. And we'll know. Sometimes we'll know not long after the trial itself. Sometimes we won't know. Sometimes I've heard people say, when we all get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to do is run up to say to the Apostle Paul, why did this happen? Or I'm going to run up to Jesus and say, you know, why did this happen? Listen, you just stepped into eternity. You know as you are known. There's not going to be any questions in heaven. You already know. I got it, Lord. All right, praise you for that, you know. So we have to be willing to be stretched. Remember always that God is for you. I was telling Bob, or I don't know who it was this morning, the Valley of Baca, that verse is not over there, though, is it? It says, make it a well. The rains also filled the pools there. What the psalmist is telling us, this is a terrible, dry, hard place. But there's a well of water there. God hasn't forgotten you. He's provided for you even in Baca, even in the Valley of Tears. He's got a place for you to drink. He's got a place for you to renew your strength so you can rise up and go on. And remember, as we journey through life, again, the psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, and I always read this at every funeral I've ever done. Sometimes they request it and sometimes they don't, but I read it anyway. Isaiah 40 says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's what God is going to do with us if we allow him to do it. The Valley of Tears is a terrible place, but there's a well there. Get a good drink. God has provided for you even there. And you're not supposed to stay there. You're not supposed to live there any more than you're supposed to be on the mountaintop. You're supposed to go to the mountain and get blessed again and again and again and again. And we grow in that. The Valley of Baca, next to the blessings of God. That's life, friends. Ups and downs. Ups and downs, good times and bad times, when you just throw up your hands and say, Lord, why me? Why me? How did this happen? Or whatever. Sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes you go, how did I make such a stupid mistake? You know, 10 and 10 doesn't equal 1,000. You know, you put that down in your checkbook and you wrote $900 worth of bad checks. You know, there's the reason right there. Pretty poor math there, buddy. You know, we do stuff like that all the time, don't we? And we basically evaluate our spiritual condition and self when we're in the Valley of Baca. That's not a good place to do that. That's the place to grab a hold of the Lord. That's the place to walk with him. That's the place to go to that well, get a drink of water. That's the place to learn from those experiences. But get out of there! So that God then can bless you in a real way, in ways that you probably would never even think about. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just think about some of the tragedies that happens in people's lives, and I think to myself, Lord, I don't think I could take that. I don't think I could. I don't think I could. I heard a pastor one time say, don't bring that up to the Lord. I thought, well, he knows your every thought, so you might as well say it, you know. But these things happen all the time, to God's people as well as to the ungodly. God makes it rain on the just and the unjust alike. His grace is poured out all the time, even in these miserable dry valleys of tears. It is there as well. But he's leading you through there to get you to the place in your life that you'll go one step higher for him, one step closer to where he wants you to be. It's a hard, hard journey, but you can make it. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't pitch your tent down there. Don't do it. Go. Go. Keep moving. Get that cool drink of water. Have you ever been in a place like that where it's so hot and, you know, you got a cool drink of water or something like that? Sometimes it's just, that's some of the best water you'll ever taste in your whole life. There's water there. We're not supposed to camp out there. God has something for you. No one is immune from those things. I don't care what the TV preachers tell you. No one is immune from life. And just because something tragic or terrible is happening doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. It means that God is with you and he's walking with you to take you to a new place, a higher place of blessing. Father God, we thank you that you're consistent, that your Holy Spirit works in our lives in everyday experiences, and in those exceptional great moments we thank you for, those high mountaintop experiences. But we also thank you for being with us as we walk through the valley of tears, which no man escapes. You're there right there with us. You're walking with us. Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed upon the prize. Help our eyes to be fixed on the Lord Jesus. When he reaches back to take our hand, help us to take it and walk forward. Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning that's really struggling. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just tenderly, quietly, just touch their heart, calm their heart. Speak that word that you're Lord and you have good things for them. I ask you to be with those that are suffering this morning, the Burkhart family. It's a large family, actually. And I'm sure that they're thinking, why, and how on earth could someone take a knife and slit a child's throat? We won't get that answer now, but we can have the healing, strengthening power of the Holy Spirit even now in our lives. Lord, for John and his family, have experienced so many things over the years. Lord, be with that family. Lord, they love you. They're dedicated to you. Pray, Father, you bless them. Make this somehow or another a celebration of life rather than a mourning in which death reigns. Don't let that happen, because you've overcome death, hell, and the grave, and you're Lord. And we ask these things in the marvelous and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing. We have a hymn of invitation this morning. What is it? It is the Savior is waiting. If you have something to make public, so don't hesitate. Don't delay. Come forward. You got to hurry, because sometimes the pastor just quits these things. And you know. But if you have something to come forward, please do.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to
kind of closed in a service of consecration unto the Lord, and I kind of had everybody stand up, and You could pray that prayer, not that prayer, but we prayed that prayer. And then we had our invitation song. And here comes Allie, and here comes Ethan up here. And I'm saying, goodbye, goodbye, you're dismissed, da, 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 da. And they said, well, we want to come join the church this morning. Oh. So, we'll give them a discount rate for coming twice. No. But it is so good to see these guys and get to know this group over here. And Allie and Ethan are special people. They love the Lord. They're just eager about learning and growing in the Lord. And you know what? That's like iron sharpening iron. Makes me eager. Makes me want to grow. And so that's what we need to do. And so I'm going to, you guys, would you go to the back door and we'll let some folks say hi to you this morning. I don't know. Go back here and stand right there by the door. People can either, you know, give you a high handshake or a punch in the stomach or whatever it is that you want to do. Just let me have your hand. Take his hand. Okay. Now we're going to go back this way. Yeah, yeah. Allie says, I don't want to do this. Go right back there. And we're going to welcome you this morning. And, of course, we used to do it the other way around. We used to make the folks stand here, and then people would come and greet them. But, you know, people sometimes are still just really scared what they're supposed to do. I don't know what you're supposed to do either. I have no idea. I've long decided to forget about it. But, nevertheless, say hi to them. If you're glad that they came this morning, tell them that. Praise the Lord for that. Okay. Don't forget, tonight, 5 o'clock is going to be our choir practice, whatever you want to call it, thing. And at 6 o'clock, it's going to be church again. And not this Sunday night, but I found a film that talks about the true Christian roots of the founding of America. And so I want to start using that on Sunday nights, a little blurbs of that, because it's almost prophetic in the sense of what's going on in our nation right now today. It's just, I just sat in there and went, oh, whoa, whoa, you know. Hallelujah, you know. And so anyway, we need to know those things. As I said a couple Sundays ago, one thing is to forget. Another thing is never have known. And never having known is worse than forgetting. So let's close in prayer. Father God, we do thank you for the grace that you so freely pour out upon us. Lord, we praise you and thank you. You give us all kinds of blessings. The very breath that we're taking this morning is a gift from you. We thank you and praise you for this great salvation we have in Christ Jesus, who is Lord. We thank you for Ethan and Allie coming this morning. Pray, Father, that you help them grow in your grace, put them in a place of service where they might be able to grow, develop their spiritual gifts, and, Lord, be a blessing as they are already a blessing to us. We ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Everybody said? Amen. Okay, you're dismissed.